I would like now to introduce Jay Pienaar, who is the president and CEO of Farm Credit Services. He was raised on a grain and cattle farm and has been the president and chief executive officer for Northwest Farm Credit Services for since September of 1989. So without further ado, Jay, I guess your slideshow is up now. I'm going to turn this over to you, and for those of you in the audience, as something comes up while he's going through his slides and you have a question to ask, please enter it over here in the chat box. Jay,
well, thank you,
the
John.
Program is yours.
Well, thank you very much, and welcome to everyone that's listening in to the session today. I'm going to move through my slides pretty quickly so that we have an opportunity for questions. A lot of times that is the best part of any presentation, is really getting to the issues that you are interested in. What I did with the first two or three slides I'm going to go through here is just to give you a little bit of a background of Northwest Farm Credit Services so that you kind of know where I come from. And on this first slide, I think the issue there is that we serve Washington, Oregon, Idaho, Montana, and Alaska. We have about 32% of the value of ag production in those states that's in our portfolio, and serve right close to $10 million. Or $10 billion as we do that. These are the locations of our branches. To give you a little bit of an idea of how we cover the four states. Then we take a look at our commodities. I think the ones that are important there to notice is when you get down to the other, so that you can track exactly what the commodities, those would be probably 150 different specialty crops that we serve, and all of those would be less than 1% of our total portfolio. But basically, cattle and grain, timber, the dairy industry are some of our commodities that get up into that 8, 9, 10% of our portfolio. What I wanted to do today is to kind of take a look at last year. And when I say last year, I'm talking about the end of 07, the beginning of 08, and kind of give you an idea of exactly what the marketplace conditions were and some of the things that lenders were dealing with, so that you have a pretty good idea of the difference between that the last 24 months has really made in agricultural finance. About all commodities except for timber and nursery, we're doing pretty well and getting along. Almost all lenders were very well capitalized. Credit quality, delinquencies, repayment capacity were all at record levels for all lenders. Debt markets were very easy to access, and very easy to access all across the terms of a particular loan or a particular debt. And from that, I mean 1 year products all the way up to 20 to 25 year products. And risk management tools were available to most lenders as they did that. Almost every deal that came to the table had two or three competing lenders. Interest rates were very competitive. Spreads were very tight, which really provided agriculture great weights, rates. Almost all commodities were coming off pretty good years and showing excellent repayment capacity. Now, what's happened in the last year, and I think that's really interesting to do, agricultural markets are becoming more stressed. If you take us in the Northwest, we have seen significant downturns. The timber and nursery I mentioned, but also poultry, hogs, dairy, and the cattle industry. All the protein industries started to have troubles because the price was not keeping up with the cost of their inputs, particularly on the feed side. As we take a look at ethanol has had a major impact on agriculture and the direction of agriculture. And as gas drop from $4 down to the $2.50 range, we saw a significant increase in the stress in the ethanol industry. The housing bubble basically burst at that point in time, and credit markets started to get much tougher. The commercial banking industry found itself in financial turmoil. Now, when I do that, I'm speaking more of the international banks, the global banks. A lot of the regional banks didn't face quite those challenges. So what happened as we changed lender focus during that period of time? We changed the perception and attitudes surrounding the financial services industry. Everything has changed. Basically, we went from an anything goes mentality to a significant reduction in credit availability. Now, credit is still available, but the issue is that credit is really only available in the shorter term products. If you want a 3, a 5, a 7, or a 15-year fixed rate products, those are much more difficult and much more expensive to get to. Credit quality, delinquencies, repayment capacity, all of those things have started moving in the wrong direction. And it's really not a case of whether you can get the dollars to loan. It's much more a case of who's going to get those dollars. And so you're looking at a greater differentiation between those producers that are continuing to show profits in their operations and those that are starting to struggle. We've seen a significant spread increase for all interest rates. And the important part of that is because rates have dropped significantly in the total markets to where lenders are borrowing their money to producers, the rates aren't much different than they've been for the last couple years. But what the real change is, there's a much greater spread in those. So if we look out into the future and the base rates start to move and basically move 100 to 125 to 100 to 200 basis points, we're going to see interest rates to producers start to go up significantly over the next 2 to 3 years. Producers, most of them were thinking about expanding. There was a great demand on lenders to reduce rates to get their loans. They believed that they could meet or exceed their income projections that they were providing. There was basically a general upbeat attitude amongst producers. Today, that's changed to a very conservative approach by our producers to expansion and growth. They're worried about their commodities over the next year or two and whether they will follow the protein industry. A lot of our grain producers recognize that the price of grain and their income streams are being helped significantly by the crop insurance programs that are available out there. And as those levels start to reduce, that's going to have a significant impact on that. Budgets are much more conservative, and most progressive producers are starting to show worst case scenarios as they take a look at where they're and what they're requesting from their lenders. The big credit conditions impact for lenders and producers as a result of the bigger economic picture outside of agriculture is really important to understand, because today's agricultural credit quality is and credit reality is much more conservative than it's been in the past. Credit is going to become more expensive. If you have expanded operations in the last 2 to 3 years going into this downturn, you're going to have a much more difficult time coming through that than what someone that probably hasn't taken those steps to do that. I thought I would conclude with just some knowledge of successful management practices. These markets are changing rapidly. Lenders are going to be asking for more information. Basically the interpretation, the impact, and the execution of the plans that you have in place and what you're wanting to do with those. Key points in understanding your industry, the drivers that are moving prices, what are the best practices that are going on, lenders are looking for that. Consensus based on opinion regarding future direction. It's not a good time to be on an island from the standpoint of what's going on in your particular industry. The need to understand the drivers of the prices in that are becoming very important. Key sources of understanding those industries include your peer groups, your professional networks, whatever that may be. A lender may become a trusted advisor. We think that's very important at the Northwest. If you're just borrowing money, you can get that anywhere, but getting it from an agricultural lender that understands your industry and what's going on has become very important. Looking at lenders as a strategic advantage is very important in this marketplace as producers take a look at where they're going, what they're going to do, because I think the key to understand and remember is that there is credit available, and you're going to hear that comment from a lot of folks. There's plenty of credit for agriculture, but I would also tell you meeting the standards for getting that available credit are much different today than they've been over the last 5 to 7 years, and it's going to have a dramatic impact on the ability of operations to expand or change their focus of the direction that they're going. Our most profitable and prosperous producers are very proactive to these changes. They look at different perspectives. They have good networks. They've got very good people and human resource skills. In negotiations, they go for a win-win instead of a one-sided approach. They have very coordinated production systems. They're good risk managers and calculate the risk that they're going to take. They have a balanced management approach. They may be good and very good in some areas, but they really don't have weaknesses in any one area. And the reason for that really helps them as they take a look at all of the things and all of the different issues that they're being challenged with. They reason, and their emotional intelligence is very sound and very stable. They recognize what they're dealing with, try to find the right answers to that and move forward. They've got superior financial management systems. They're very good at their time management. They adopt technology early. They have complementary partners that they can work with. And the last one's really important. They recognize the difference between the small decisions that they're making and the large decisions they're making from the standpoint of the time they take, the study they put into it, and the risk that that has to their operation. So with that, we would open it up to questions, and hopefully we've managed the time appropriately that provides for some questions as we move to the next presenter. Thank you.
Further clarify a little kind of some of the differences in how your bank is approaching this situation and kind of how you came through the 80s.
That's a real good question. I think the one thing that we did as we came out of the 80s was we established a set of credit standards that we felt that the producers that met those credit standards could get through the good times and the bad times. And this, you know, 2009, 2008 is a troubled time. But in agriculture, it's not any more difficult than 1999, 2000, 2001 were. And those credit standards treated us very well through that. Our producers made it through those. Our producers are that we're working with now, as long as they continue to meet that same set of credit standards, we're able to work with them. And we haven't changed. We haven't become tougher on who we deal with or in dealing with those particular issues, and that's really important to remember. And the reason for that is because if those credit standards are sound, the people that meet those should have themselves positioned once the downturn turns around to bounce back very quickly with their operations and be prepared for the future opportunities that they may have.
A question is come in from someone in our audience, and they'd like you to expand a little more on what you said about how leverage is a killer.
Well, the challenge that you get with leverage, and I think our dairy industry right now is a really good example of that. Those operations that expanded in 2002, 2003, 2004, They changed their balance sheet because of that expansion. So they had more leverage, they had more debt as they did that. Now they had greater earnings capacity. And when the better years in dairy, which came in 2006 and 2007, they were able to reduce those debt loads, get themselves back from a equity position and a cash flow position that matched up with that new leverage that they put on the books. Those folks that increased their leverage or expanded their operations in late 2006, 2007, and early 2008, in those commodities that have had a serious downturn, they haven't had the opportunity to make the profits to get their balance sheet back in balance. And so it's not just this, it's any other downturns that occur in agriculture. If you expand at the wrong time, you have yourself in a much weaker position to get through that downturn than what you would do if you hadn't have made that expansion. I'm not saying that expansion was wrong and that expansion and leverage is necessarily wrong, but timing becomes a critical issue depending on the commodity and what point of the cycle your commodity happens to be in.
We have one other question before we move to Kurt, and then there, for those of you out there in the audience, you can continue to submit your questions because Jay will also be available for our panel. What is your outlook on land values over the next 3 to 5 years?
Now, that's a really interesting question. As we take a look right at this point in time in our geographic area, the market that has really softened would be the investor market. And so people that are from outside of agriculture that have been investing in agricultural land, that has really slowed down. So properties that are close to natural amenities, rivers, mountains, whatever it may be, we have seen those back off significantly. And I believe because of the significant stress that has occurred in the general economy, that piece of customer to buy agricultural land will stay at its current levels for the next 3 to 5 years. We have not seen much drop off in pure agricultural land that was purchased for production. Now, as we see some of these commodities, and I think it's probably going to be driven more in the grain industry, as these grain prices come down, as these insurance products start to reduce based on average price, we are going to, at a minimum, see a leveling off of current prices, and I think that will probably carry through for the next 3 to 5 years. Now, all of this is based on pretty limited information because we haven't seen a lot of property change hands over the last 12 months. And so, you know, in any case where you're not moving property, it's awfully tough to determine exactly what that current market is. But we think the agricultural times that we're heading into, which are going to have much more conservative prices and definitely lower levels of profit, are going to impact any increases. We think that reductions can stay in that 10% to 15% range, which the industry can tolerate.
Thank you, Jay, and we look forward to your participating in the panel discussion after Kurt and Chris have given their presentation.